If you were a police officer in Oakland in the 1990s, two things dominated your work life. The city's staggering crime rate.
Hear this message. Crime and disrespect for the rights of others won't be tolerated. Period. That's all there is to it.
And later, the fallout from a lawsuit against four officers who called themselves the Riders. In 2000, over 100 plaintiffs came forward to accuse the officers of kidnapping, false imprisonment, assault with a deadly weapon, and battery.
Ultimately, we wound up representing 129 people who did a total of 40 years for crimes they didn't do.
The ensuing lawsuit put a spotlight on the department, and it led to what's called the Negotiated Settlement Agreement. That is a 5-year legal plan to bring accountability into the Oakland police force. But 9 years have now passed, and the department still sees a record number of complaints. Hanging in the balance is control of the force. If it doesn't change course, the OPD may become the first major American police department taken over by the federal government. Reporter Joaquin Palomino explains what this means for the Oakland police.
Sue Taylor has lived in Oakland for the past 40 years. At age 64, she's had an eventful life.
I've done a lot of things professionally. I've served on corporate boards, charitable boards, volunteering in the schools, coaching my son's Little League team.
But for 3 years, one event consumed most of her time.
I'm doing a drive-through tour of an experience I had with the Oakland Police Department in early April 2004.
And it Taylor was stopped on 29th Street. She looked both ways before crossing the intersection, but she missed a car coming straight at her.
At which point I was hit, and the front of my car was torn off, pulled over into a red zone, and that began my saga.
Taylor says the man who hit her became hostile and refused to give up his information. In fear for her safety, she called the police, who gave her permission to leave the area. While driving her wrecked car home, a cop pulled up behind her and switched on his sirens. Taylor got out of her car.
At which point the police officer said, "You're a hit and run! You're a hit and run!" And I kept saying, "There's a mistake. There's a mistake. This isn't a hit and run. I've been given permission to come home."
After what seemed like hours of arguing,
he literally attacked me. Jumped on me, wrenched my right arm up behind my back in what I later was told, and he testified to in court, was a pain hold. He pulled me out to the sidewalk and pushed me down on top of his patrol car, banging my mouth, and there was blood down the front of me.
She was placed in custody for disturbing the peace and resisting arrest. This began a 3-year legal battle that ended with a $40,000 civil rights settlement. Taylor's ordeal came on the heels of the landmark Riders case in 2003. Out of that lawsuit came what's called the Negotiated Settlement Agreement, or NSA. It's a 5-year, 51-point plan meant to curb police misconduct. Since it was signed, the department has complied with 80% of the agreement. But at the same time, it's maintained a record level of complaints.
There's been a lot of cases, even since the NSA, which happened in 2003. I certainly have been involved in many of them.
Civil rights attorney John Burris represented the plaintiffs in the Riders case and co-wrote the agreement.
A lot of police shooting cases, strip search cases. We were involved in another case that almost 100 people involving misuse of search warrant.
In the past decade, one officer was accused of sexually harassing 20 Asian women. Another officer beat a man so severely that his ribs broke and he died of pneumonia. Court documents suggest a cover-up, but the officer was still promoted to captain. All of these lawsuits ended in hefty settlements, which over the decade have cost Oakland around $60 million. That's more than San Jose and San Francisco combined.
The most commonly reported complaints are for excessive force and rudeness.
Rashida Grenache directs the multipurpose community group Pueblo. And since 1990, she's filed away every grievance made against the OPD. In 2010, Grenache compared her collection for the year to San Francisco's.
We actually had 3 times the number of complaints filed against police officers than San Francisco did, even though San Francisco's police force is three times larger than our force.
Despite the high number of complaints, most observers say the department has improved since the dark days of the rioters.
And there's been a total sea change as far as how we operate and the numbers of officers that are here now.
That's Barry Donnellan, president of the Oakland Police Officers Association.
Well, the negotiated settlement agreement has laid a series of processes on the department that have set a series of checks and balances in place.
At a recent OPD open house for the community, I spoke with Deputy Chief Sean Wendt. He's been with the force for 16 years, and he says he's seen the progress firsthand.
I think that we're more forward-thinking now. We try and slow down and do things more responsibly.
Since 2003, the department has implemented an entirely new training program and crowd control policy. They also have a system in place that ensures only the best cops are promoted.
We've drastically changed our internal affairs process so that every complaint that comes in gets investigated, whereas in the past some may have just been filed. We do much better investigations of uses of force, even low-level uses of force.
Court-appointed monitors and a federal judge regularly check up on the department's progress. Only 20% of the agreement remains incomplete, but of those items, most are just a few percentage points shy of being checked off the list.
We're in the ballpark at this point, so now it's just really fine-tuning to get that last little bit.
But there's concern that reforms are stagnant. The department has already been granted two extensions, and in the last two quarterly reports, they've made little to no progress. Again, Attorney John Burris.
And so now we're on like a fourth police chief, a third mayor, 9 years in, and we're still working at it. It's not easy. And so we've had a lot of resistance in getting that done.
Earlier this year, federal monitor Robert Warshaw accused the department of continuing to protect problem officers, a concern shared by attorney Jim Channon.
Out of 700 officers, the main problems are done by 20 or 25 officers.
What, I guess, makes them, in your mind, the primary problem?
They'd kill people for no reason. They'd beaten people for no reason. They'd arrested people for no reason. They'd cost the city millions of dollars.
Federal Judge Thelton Henderson is especially concerned with officer-involved shootings. Between 2004 and 2008, roughly 20 unarmed people were shot by the OPD. A third of them died. Still, none of the officers involved were punished. One case that's recently drawn scrutiny involved 27-year-old Jody Woodfox.
Officer Hector Jimenez was fired from OPD in 2008 for shooting an unarmed man after a suspected DUI traffic stop. The city paid $650,000 to the victim's family to settle a wrongful death lawsuit.
John Burris represented the Woodfox family.
You find out all the facts that suggested that number one, he was unarmed, number two, he was running away, and that while he's running away, he shot running away three times in the back. That has all the appearance of murder.
No father figure in their life is what's blamed upon thee. My dad gunned down by OPD.
That's one of Jody Woodfox's three children, Mac, reading a poem titled The Average Black Man. He recited it a year after his father was killed on a TV program called We Poets.
They think they're mad now? Well, you just wait and see. I'll give them something to be mad about. Because me, I refuse to be the average black man.
How I feel towards the Oakland police officers in regards to the shooting of my brother would be anger. Towards Officer Jimenez.
Jody Woodfox's sister, Kenita Vaughn, still can't believe how her brother was killed.
Just anger, like, mainly because...
4 months before Woodfox was shot, Officer Jimenez was involved in a very similar incident.
Andrew meant a lot to us.
Sonia Wani's son, Andrew Maupin Buckskin, was one of five people killed by Oakland police last year.
He shot and killed Andrew Maupin Buckskin, who was unarmed, as he fled arrest. Officer Jimenez was fired for killing the two men, but last year a labor arbitrator ordered that Jimenez be rehired with full back pay. This has Kenita Vaughn baffled.
It makes us, you know, feel unprotected, unsafe. We look at the Oakland police as being a gang. themselves. And, you know, we just have this misplaced fear, like there's no trust.
People look at the police department and they paint it with a broad brush. You know, all cops are like that. And really, you can't look at any group in society and judge them all together, right? I mean, people are individuals. So if there are bad cops, you know, we as the police department have to address that. But we don't think it's reflective upon the population at large of police officers.
Deputy Chief Sean Wendt understands why police community relations are strained, but he hopes people can have faith in the department's ability to change.
We have made good strides since Chief Jordan took over, and I think that we will be able to actually get this in compliance this year.
Hopefully he's right, because time and patience are starting to wear thin. The department has a backlog of countless complaints from the Occupy protests, and Judge Henderson recently ordered investigations into officer-involved shootings. Attorneys John Burris and Jim Channon are currently preparing a motion to place the department under federal receivership, a first in the nation. If granted, no one knows what that would look like, but officials believe it will be an expensive endeavor for this city, especially when it's $58 million in debt. In Oakland, I'm Joaquin Palomino for Cross Currents.